Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apology, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of 1 Samuel, we finished chapter 12. Let's listen as Dr. Bloom starts with chapter 13 today.
And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
On his firm foundation for the Bible stands.
This is your radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom, welcoming you to another Lamp and Light broadcast. Well, I hope you'll have your Bible ready. We'll be in 1 Samuel chapter 13 today as we continue our verse-by-verse study of this great book of the Bible. Now, also, let me encourage you to have pencil and paper and a good King James Bible. In our studies, often we'll hone in on a word, and some Bibles don't have that word in it. For whatever reason, they'll leave words out, which is not a good thing, especially when it's referring to the Word of God. So let me encourage you to follow along in our study. And I believe that today, as we look at 1 Samuel chapter 13, and over the next few weeks, you'll enjoy it richly. Now, also, let me encourage you to visit Central Baptist Church if you're in the Ocala area during the summer. Now, it is April the 17th when I am recording this message, and I know that it will be played sometime during the summer over the radio stations and the internet. And I'm not sure when. And you know that better than I do if you're listening to it right now. But if you've not been on vacation, you plan to go to Florida, or at any time you're in Florida, you get a chance to go by Ocala, Florida, make sure you stop in and visit Central Baptist Church at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue. We would love to have you. Also, as I'm getting a little older now, I'm ready to do some traveling myself. My wife and I would be more than happy to come to your church and hold a couple days of meetings if your pastor would so love to have us. And if you're a pastor listening, I'd be glad to come. All we'd ask is that you put us up and you pay our expenses to go there and come back. We don't even need to have a love offering on top of that. We just like to be able to pay for our gas and meals and have a place to sleep, and we'd be happy with that. So if you would like to have us in, pastors, write us, let us know. If you're listening to this and your pastor's unable and you'd like to have us up there, tell your pastor. Now, don't put the pressure on him. We don't want any pastor pressured into having us in. We want them to have us in because they want us in. Although I would say that it would be a good thing to encourage your pastor to listen to us if you would ask him to have us in. Now, let me also say that we love the Fundamental Independent Baptist Church. And so if that's your church, you tell your pastor about us, and you let him know we're a friend of the church. We believe that your first allegiance is to your local church. You love that pastor. You support him. You stand behind him. Now we're in 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to be looking at these first few verses and just continue on through the chapter. Now, upon our first return to the farm, after my mother-in-law had passed away, this is about 1 or 2 years later, we were in for a surprise. There was no garden. The beautiful flower garden that usually greeted you as you pulled up the driveway was gone. I was more disappointed over the vegetable garden, because I always enjoyed going up to North Carolina in the summer and enjoying the fruits of their labor. And oh, was that garden good. And I loved the peas and the corn and the beans. And that's my kind of eating. And I just could make a meal out of beans, peas, and corn, and as well as potatoes, and the new potatoes particularly. And so that was great, and I missed that going up there. But as we drove around the farm, we noticed it was all overgrown. Now, my wife had grown up in the farmhouse from the first day that she was brought home from the hospital until she went away to college and ended up marrying me. And so I could see tears forming in her eyes and notice the almost heartbrokenness as she's seen that the farm was not being cared for and things were growing over, and it just didn't look good. Now later, her brother did come in, cleaned it up, really made it look nice, and then I think he eventually sold it. But for a while there, it just did not look good, and it kind of broke our hearts to see it like that. But she had those tears in her eyes. I could not help but to think of Israel after the captivity, and they were rebuilding the temple. And there were those there that had seen the glory of the first temple. And as they were watching it being erected and dedicated, we're told they wept. Now, when we think of that, we think of you can come back, but it may not be as the way it was before. I've seen pastors that have ran off with a woman and maybe a secretary or something like that, left his wife, and their life is destroyed, and they cannot pastor again. But it doesn't mean that God is through with them, and God can use them in another capacity besides pastoring. And sometimes that can happen. And so what we're saying is that there's always hope that a person will repent and get right with God. Well, we need to understand that the farm that my wife was on did not change. Rather, those who cared for it. And in like manner, God in his word never changed. He says, I am God, I change not. But oftentimes there are those that are placed in a position who do despite to both God and his word. Some people know how to handle increased power and responsibility. Unfortunately, some do not. With some, it changes them for the worse. I'm reminded of Proverbs 30, verses 8 and 9. Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. And so we need to realize is that we need to accept responsibility that God gives us, but don't take it as a pride that you're better than others and they need to move and bow down to you. Now, the first thing I want you to see is the problem that showed there was a change in Saul. Let's read those first 12 verses here. It says, Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people, he sent every man to his tent. And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, let the Hebrews hear. And all Israel heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had in abomination with the Philistines. And the people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude. And they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. Well, let's just cut it off right there, and we'll talk about that before we move on to any other verses. Now, I believe that the problem that we're going to see here is that there was a change in Saul. He had gathered his army together. And so verse 1 let us know that he'd reigned 1 year, and for the most part, it was uneventful. You might say he had his honeymoon period, okay, with the nation. The second year begins, and he's working on his army. And perhaps he feels like, well, you know what? We've done well. Everything is going okay. I can send a lot of them home, and he does. Perhaps we should review to better understand this second verse, however, where it says, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan and Gibeah of Benjamin, and the rest of the people he sent everyone to his tent. Now, if you remember back in chapter 11, verse 8, when Saul got all upset and the Ammonites had gone in and tried to really embarrass Israel and to work against them, and he had 330,000 when he numbered them. But now he's preparing his army. And so now it's a different story. We find out at first he kept 3,000, sent everybody else home. But now here comes these guys from the Philistines. And against 3,000, they have 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and then a people, there were so many of them, it just says they're like, they were like the sand on the seashore in number or in multitude. And so he's greatly outnumbered, and boy, things don't look good. And the Philistines divided in three companies. And yet, we'll see later when they are defeated, it's such an overwhelming defeat. It'll be tremendous. And so we saw the same thing among the Ammonites, that there wasn't two that could run together, that they'd been destroyed so badly. And we'll see the same thing here with the Philistines. Now, since nothing much is happening, and Saul has chosen the 3,000 men, he kept 2,000 for himself and 1,000 for Jonathan. But isn't it interesting that God gives the victory unto Jonathan? Now, to this point, we don't see anything in Saul that indicates that he's doing anything wrong. So why would God give a victory to Jonathan, although Saul would be credited with the victory? Why would he do that? Well, God looketh on the heart. Man looketh on the outward appearance. So God already is seeing a change in the heart of Saul. The story is told of a man that was walking by a bank one day, and as he looked in, he just had a fleeting thought, saying, boy, that thing would be easy to rob, I think. He wasn't a thief. He had not been that. But each day he'd go by there, he looked at that thing and said, now, how would I rob that if I was going to rob it? And he devised a plan, and it took weeks to do it, but it just kept building and building. And he had that fail-proof plan after weeks and weeks of just thinking it through. Every day he'd walk by there, and it was just walking by. There's a place he had to go by. And so after he knew how to do it, it just seemed like the temptation to try it was too great. And the man held up the bank.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No breaks. Click Sermon Library. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no breaks. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.